सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। So yesterday we have seen tasya nischintanam dhyanam. Sarva karma nirakaranam avahanam. Nischala jnanam asanam. So after having offered the asana, the next few steps, usually in the tropical Indian subcontinent, there is a little resound. There is an echo, it can reduce gain. So hygiene was of utmost importance. In fact, you wouldn't be allowed inside without washing up and cleaning yourself outside, and then you are allowed to enter inside. So wherever you have gone, whatever you have done, all the dirt is cleaned outside and then you are brought in. And the waters also that are used to clean is fortified, I would say, is sanctified and fortified, that it kills the germs and bacteria in a most natural way, organic way, in today's language. So therefore you'll find that there is betel leaf or mango leaf put in that water, sanctified. So the entire kalasha of Purna Kumbha, that the waters is for washing the feet, the coconut water is for refreshing, so padyam and achamaniyam, and then the water is also used for washing your hands and face, so argyam is also done. So all these three steps is included in the ritual of Purna Kumbha. Nowadays it has become only symbolic. It is so symbolic that there are houses wherein to find a coconut, and that coconut with a tuft, and find a mango leaf, it's difficult. So now they have silver everything, kalash, with coconut leaf, everything of silver. To have that itself was becoming symbolic. And now that in silver has become heights of symbolism. Thing is to offer padhya, argya, and achamana. So as soon as the guest comes, what is the next step? And who is the guest here? The Lord of Lords, Jagadishwara himself. So to him, the next few steps, repeat after me. Samunmani bhavaha.
Samunmani bhavaha.
पाद्यं समुन्मनि भावः पाद्यं समुन्मनि भावः पाद्यं द समुन्मनि भाव उन्मनि भावः मन इज यूजुअली going outside. Unmana is to divert and be able to make that mind which is constantly by habit going outside, to turn it with it. It's a huge process. We can move buildings. After coming to America, I was amused that they carry houses across. You know, prefab houses, they'll move across. So my question was, the people living in that house, are they inside or? So you can move houses, you can move mountains, you can do a lot of things. But to make sure that the mind which is constantly going outside to turn within is a huge step. Why does the mind go outside? One reason, default process. That is how it has been created. Second, is it the default process? No, the organs of perception action have been created to be constantly outwardly. The mind as such has not been created to be outwardly. It definitely does the interactive part of gathering all the information from organs of perception action and processing it. So it does a good job of it. But is it outwardly by nature? Not necessarily and outwardly. It works based on some convictions in the intellect. And what is the intellect's conviction today? That my happiness, which is exactly the crux of entire Ramagita, that actions and through actions to get happiness is the biggest illusion of human endeavor. Whenever we ask anybody, why do you work or why do you do what you do? The net bottom line comes down to be that I want to be happy. But there where you are putting your effort as an appointment towards happiness, is it assured that you will be happy? There can be moments of fleeting joy. We don't need Upanishad, we don't need Ramagita, we don't need any other thing. Average age of all of us sitting here is 50 plus. Okay, if you want to feel young, 40 plus. Mera kya jata hai? In a typical Bombay language, it would be, what father my ghost? Mera paap ka kya jata hai? In your 40 years of experience, you have had experienced various aspects, various fields. Is there an amount of permanent joy that you have seen through your action, through your life experience? You don't need Upanishad for it. Upanishad is just making a pointer of all these experiences put together. There have been moments of joy and they have been fleeting, they have been impermanent. Let me put it in an easy format of cognition. When we work out in the world, is it that I work for happiness or I work with happiness? There's a huge difference. Most of us, all of us, we work out in the world for happiness. And it would be only a arbitrary statement made by the intellectual arguments, wherein they say, if I am happy, why would I work? A teenager or a Balavihar kid arguing this, I can still accept it. Now, with a thorough investigation, that mind which is happy cannot but reach out to the rest of the community or rest of the environment around to share that happiness. And what happens when you share your happiness? It multiplies. Vyaye krite vardhata eva nityam. The more you spend, the more it grows. Happiness is not for a miserly person. Do you know who is a miserly person by definition?
The one who has got this equipment, body, mind, intellect, but is not using it for the ultimate goal, as it is given in the Prabhupada.
So, to sum that up in a funny statement, somebody who can be called as a miser is that person who lives poor to die rich. He is not ready to spend anything. He lives poor only to die rich. The one who is truly happy is never miserly. He wants to reach out and give that, share that with everybody that comes with. Anybody that they can interact with. Caste, creed, gender, nationality is not of an issue. So the one who is happy, even the joys that you have, small little joys that come by. If somebody is sitting in a corner, dark corner of your... What happened? I'm happy. If you're happy, have you seen anybody with that kind of behavior? There's something wrong up there. Upstairs is gone cuckoo. If you're happy, you're out there trying to share. Even if it is small thing, you'll gather all these people concerned, you care for, and you share that moment with everybody. If it is that, you know, unimaginable joy or happiness which has no end to it, anantaha, you're not scared of sharing it. So what happens with this mind? The basic conviction has to be changed. I call that the eczema of mind. A doctor. What is eczema?
It's a skin condition that makes you itch.
But simple words. Tell me the condition. How does it...
That makes you scratch.
It's a rash. It's like
rash. And the eczema's main thing is it feels good when you scratch. But does it really do good? No, it actually aggravates. But as long as you are scratching, feels good. So similarly, mind has this wrong conviction. It is the eczema. And what is the wrong conviction? My happiness is out there somewhere. I am yet to find it. Generations after generations, we have been conditioning ourselves and generations later also that, beta, your joy, your happiness, your thing is out there, go get it. If the child were to stop and ask, really dad, really mom, have you found it? We don't have an answer. Why are you forcing me to go out there in the name of success and happiness to achieve all these things if you have not found it yourself? Andhe naiva niyamana yatha andaha dhantramyamanaha pariyanti mudhaha. Blind leading the blind. Trying to say that what I have not found, maybe you will find. Go, find. It takes a courageous parent to tell, beta, there is nothing there outside. Everything that is inside. And that day when the kid or the child really understands this, comes back to the parent and says, Mom, Dad, I think it is up here, not out there. I'm going to find it here. Enough of Chinmay Mission, okay? Why? So far, you know, to have some kind of a cultural balance and some kind of Indianization, everything was fine. This? This is scary. No. See, the conviction has to be changed. The satyatva buddhi, that my happiness is out there, that has to be changed. Otherwise, with the itch, we continuously run for the world. Why? Yeah, my happiness is there. Very beautifully depicted in Bhagavad Gita, the 11th chapter, wherein it says that the fireflies are rushing into the fire. You stop one of that. Hey, listen up. You will burn yourself to ash if you run into that fire. The first logic is, do you think everybody else, when all the other fireflies which are rushing, do you think they are fools? There is something there, therefore they are going. So majority as a rule, I'd never accept. If majority are going in one direction, there is something wrong there. And majority as an electoral board, I have my doubts. I'm still searching for a solution wherein there is a benevolent dictator. Yet to find one. It was Ramchandra ji, and after that, there is not one. Bhagavan Krishna cannot be called as that. He was a king maker. He never became a king. Because in majority, it is the flock mentality. That yes, we are conditioning generations after generations, saying that the happiness is out there. Is it really? And Bhagavan Ramchandra ji in Rama Gita very clearly says, happiness is not a product of action. That you cannot find happiness through actions. Karmanyeva adhikaraste, actions are your birthright. Ma phaleshu kadachana, the phala that you are anticipating, which is happiness, can never be found through actions. Crux of Gita rahasya or karma rahasya, which is the second chapter shloka, karmanyeva adhikaraste. You must be knowing that. So that conviction when changed and the mind turns within, that turning point, even in the river's flow, wherever Gangaji has turned towards her own source, it has been referred, that place has been referred as Kashi. There are a couple of Kashis. There is Kashi Banaras. Then there is Uttara Kashi, Gupta Kashi, Som Kashi. So in all these places you will find that Gangaji has turned towards her source, northernly. Similarly, when the mind changes within, turns within, as you look at the word, whenever it turns within, turns towards its own source, kasha means to illumine. That is a root word. Prakasha. Prakasha is to illumine. The illumination happens. That is why it becomes punya kshetra. And that day when with conviction mind changes, that what I see outside does not have this happiness, therefore I am not running after this world or running away from this world. Both. Because my connection with this world can be compassion and love, but not happiness. What I can give to this world is compassion, love and happiness, but not expect that happiness from this world. That basic conviction when changes, that day is the most auspicious day for that individual as a seeker is born. This basic conviction is not changed. You want to sit in meditation, you want to do puja, upasana and other things. Do you think it will change? Because as soon as this is finished, where is the mind running? It is ready to lick the wounds wherein it thinks that it has happiness. That conviction when changed, the samunmani bhavaha padyam, when the mind turns inwardly, that flow is the true sense of washing the feet of the Lord. So that when you sit and do the sankalpa of the puja or upasana, what should be the sankalpa? Vishnoho prityartham. This is the puja offered is not for any kind of benefits gained. You know, when you sit with the pujari, the priest, so they will say mama. This one thing they will ask you to repeat in the sankalpa. Ishta kamyartha siddhyartam dhana vastu vahana kanaka. All these kinds of benefits, you know, demand from the Lord. Therefore, with this sankalpa we sit. All gods, as soon as they hear, you have seen them, right? They are in this, the two hands at least are in this position. What does this mean? Stop, enough of it. How long will you continue the same thing? And when we don't stop, he uses the other hand and says, "Pude chala." Keep moving forward. My imagination. Abhaya and Varada. When does it become Abhaya? When that conviction is changed, that Lord, I am doing it for your pleasure. To just spend that time with you. I need nothing from you. Because all that which you have, which I would require, you already given. Tomeva mata cha pita tvameva. You are my mother, father, everything. As a mother and father, I would not let my child out into the world without equipping him or her. And if you are my mother and father, you would do a better job than us mortals as mother and father. Therefore, I have nothing to ask of you. You have already given, I am happy that you have given me whatever you have given. See, little or more is only a comparative statement. See, when you talk of the economic background and the poverty line, who draws that line? What standpoint is to make developed or developing or underdeveloped? From which standpoint? The basic philosophy of the East and West is this. The East says, find that happiness within. West says, find everything out. Both have its benefits. But when you look at the purposefulness, what are you looking at? The purposefulness of the Eastern philosophy is to ascertain that permanent peace and happiness. It's not out there. But when will that conviction change? For intelligent ones, like very rare few, like Buddha and others, they saw pain and misery of others and they could change themselves. That was good enough an indication. For many of us, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jathare shayanam. This goes on and on and on. These experiences of churning has to keep happening. So I don't use this as a joke, but people take it as a joke. And people said, when can we find a better opportunity? I said, BLNL. Better luck next life. But this life is already gone by. And not to increase and make a despondent of a seeker, but if the intensity is changed, this conviction is changed, with my own experiences, that I have seen enough of the outside world. That is what Nachiketa says to Yama, when Yama tries to entice him with all kinds of things. That's another inspiring kid. Three kids, my ideal. Nachiketa, Prahlada, Dhruva. Almost like they're remembering them is like a slap into the face. Hurry up. And Nachiketa, what amazing brain he has. He's standing right in front of Yama and Yama is scared of that kid. And he tries to entice him and then he has the presence of mind or the viveka buddhi wherein he says, Shvobhava martyasya yadantakaitat sarvendriyani jarayanti tejaha api sarvam jivitam alpameva tavaivavaha stavanritya gite. Keep your all these different enticing things that you are giving unto yourself. I don't care for them, I don't need them. If for the third boon, if you can give me this Atma Vidya, give. Otherwise, you can take, that is your bonus, you can keep it for yourself. I don't care for the third boon. If you can't give that, don't entice me with all these cheap things. Why? Shva abhavaha, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Anything of this worldly thing, is there? If tomorrow is not guaranteed, what permanent happiness can it give? Shva abhavaha, martyasya yadantakaitat. Take anything of this mrityaloka. Mrityaloka is bhuloka. There is nothing permanent about it. Okay, if I indulge in it, it will give me moments of pleasures. But how are these pleasures? Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. One by one, all these organs of perception, action and their tejas, their glow is lost as I indulge. So the teja of these organs of perception action is inversely proportional to the indulgence with the world outside. Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. Api sarvam jivitam. And you are talking of, you know, the tens and thousands of years of life. Tell me truthfully. I'll soon be there where many of you are. But wherever you are, whatever age that you are in, doesn't it look like yesterday when you look at your younger days, when you were a child or when you were not long ago, just doesn't it appear like that? And there's a strange thing, morning to evening seems to drag its legs. Year after year seems to fly away. How many years have we lived? Add another few zeros on the side. Be intelligent enough where you want to add. Api sarvam jivitam. Even after having lived a long, long life. Alpameva. It seems like all the time has just passed by unknowingly. So what you are giving, I am not interested in, because the satyatva buddhi of that child, of that Nachiketa, viveka buddhi, is that I very clearly know that my happiness is not out there in the world. Show me the path to get to that core of my own being if you can. That is called a true padya. That change of conviction of our mind is the true padya. That is when the upasana has a meaning in it. Continuing. Sada amanaskam.
Sada amanaskam.
Arghyam.
Arghyam.
Sada amanaskam. Arghyam.
Sada amanaskam. Arghyam.
Namaskaraha is the opposite of manaskaraha. Namaskaraha is the opposite of manaskaraha. Meaning, when the mind is turned inside, then what happens is a true humble gesture called prostrations and offering oneself. Namaskara happens. Amanaskaha. Amanaskaha, the readiness, the willingness to break every comfort zone that we settle into. It takes amazing courage to do this next step. Because all lifelong what we have been taught is get into a comfort zone. Here the Shruti is challenging us. If you think that you have settled in a comfort zone, kick that system out of that comfort zone mercilessly. Whose comfort zone? Our own comfort zone, not somebody else's. If you get stuck into a comfort zone, get out of it. Otherwise, in the name of sadhana, only we become complacent. In the path of this spiritual unfoldment, there are only two steps. Either you are realized or you are not. There is no gradation in between. Oh, you have been so many years, you are way up there. There is no up there. Either you are realized or you are not. As simple as that is. Does this sentence make any... I am 50% realized. Meaning 50% vela, that means 50% you are still unrealized. It doesn't work. It can work in the material world of your the scoring system, wherein even if you get, what is the least percentage that you can get to pass to the next grade? 70? Uske baad it's fail. 70. In spirituality, there is no scope. This is only 100%. Okay, give you an example, simple example. You know, you keep hearing the example of snake and rope. So you mistake for whatever reasons. I'm not going into the other aspects. The only aspect that I'm going is the realization aspect. And whatever flashlight you put on that rope, and then you understood that it is not a snake. This side of the rope I understand as a rope. That side could still be a snake. Does it make sense? even if little bit of doubt is cleared that it is not snake, it is only rope, the rest of it all. Otherwise our understanding, there is some confusion. Half rope, half... You are not in Harry Potter's world. You are in the reality. And reality works under 100%, not in percentages in between. So here he is saying, Sada amanaskam argyam. So the comfort zones that we settle in stops the seeker to grow. The effort is not to get into a comfort zone. Now I have a routine. And what is a routine? I wake up, I do my little sadhana or puja or upasana, make my breakfast, and then I go for a walk, then I come back. What next? Have you identified all various patterns of the mind where we are hooked onto, where we are trapped? And are you putting an effort to get out of that entrapment? Every single step. And that is why it takes courage to walk this path. Na balahi nena labhyaha. Those who do not have courage cannot walk this path. Because it takes courage to first identify that comfort zones. And every comfort zone has to be broken. Mercilessly. Therefore, there are some teachers, as soon as they find the student settling in any kind of comfort zone, they whip. Change. Change. This is not fair. We are not in a fair and lovely competition. Fair and lovely is a fairness cream in India. It is not a fair game here. The purpose of getting here is to, unless you break all these patterns, that where I am entrapped, that where I am caught up, it is impossible for me to get out. Unless these limitations are cracked, we will not have an opportunity to walk the path of spirituality. Upanishads are so glorious that they say that the pattern of Upanishad also has to be broken at the end. Yatra vedaha avedaha bhavanti. Even that final crutch has to be given up. That preparedness to observe every pattern of mind and constantly keep breaking this pattern. That you do not allow that mind to settle into any comfort zone. We are quite good at that. We do it to others. Now all that we have to do is do it to ourselves. Sada amanaskam argyam. So getting out of the comfort zones constantly. That is the true argya. The next one. Sada deeptihi.
Sada deeptihi.
Achamaniyam.
Achamaniyam.
Sada deeptihi.
Sada deeptihi.
Achamaniyam.
Achamaniyam.
I thought this was the most brilliant aspect of this Upanishad, which the Rishi mentions in this particular step. Because when we start getting into sadhana very sincerely, and vigorously we get into this spiritual unfoldment, people start becoming very serious. Why? I have become a sadhak now. Prabhupada, your entire sadhana, the goal of your sadhana is to reach towards happiness. Why do you have a frustrated face? No, I'm very serious. Are you getting the polarity that we are caught up here? It's a very beautiful, very subtle point here it says. Because we start, you know, there is no happiness outside, you know, dosha drishti everywhere, that, you know, I should not get entrapped in all these things. So there is constant struggle. And in that struggle, there is only seriousness that comes out. Here the Rishi is trying to mention, Baba, the entire world has three aspects to it. The first two aspects you are focusing on, missing out on the third one. As a seeker, we want truth. As a seeker, I want that truth which is auspicious only. So the first two aspects are very clear. Satyam and Shivam. And what is the third aspect? Sundaram. We start missing out on the beauty of everything around. Simple little things. And we miss the beauty in it. To bring the mind to that alertness wherein as much sincere we are towards truth and auspiciousness, to be able to bask in the glory of its beauty, its glory, is also making that seeker available for the third aspect of that reality. Otherwise, because the satyatva buddhi is, if there is any slight enjoyment, I should not enjoy it, I should not get into such mode because that will become a... Don't get enslaved by it. But as the moment comes, welcome it. As the moment goes, bid farewell to it. That is what the seeker has to learn. Agate swagatam kuryat nirgate nanivarayet. Let it come. Welcome it. Celebrate it. As it goes, celebrate that also. Therefore, if you look at all great Mahatmas, their birth is celebrated. Janma Mahotsava. Their death is also celebrated as Aradhana Mahotsava. That is also Mahotsava. Utsava festivity. A great festivity, Maha Utsava. For us, birth is okay. Death, as a Mahatma, Gurudev was once asked, how do you view death as? What is your perspective on death? How do you personally view death as? He says, another experience. Not much of a description given. Another experience, that's all. And even to think of it, it is so scary. Oh, mar jayenge to? What will happen? The rest of us will be happy. I'm making, poking fun at it, but get the essence of it. The seriousness has to be gone. See, the child, because the child's mind is innocent, it enjoys everything. I would really like to get into that child's head, into the child's head, and to understand what exactly is happening at that moment. Little bright colors in there, so happy. Something new that they see, they are happy. A bug they see, they are happy. As a parent, we are scared looking at the bug. They are least bothered, they are happy. And they are in a true sthita prajna sthiti. Whether it is a puddle of water or puddle of toilet, they sit there and they bask in it. They'll keep splashing that water all around. Have you seen? For them there is absolutely no difference there. Just sthita prajna. They enjoy every single moment. To see the entire world with that innocence, that every single experience that comes by in our life, don't be a pessimist in life. Be an optimist to see brilliance and light in every experience. No experience is given unto us if we cannot handle it. Every experience is given unto us so that we learn from that experience to move intelligently towards the next step. So what should be the perspective in every experience? What is it that I have to learn from here? How do I grow to the next step? Spiritually. There is never a tough situation. Toughness is only when we don't understand what I have to learn from it. Otherwise we keep wasting time with one stupid question. I really call that a stupid question. Why is this happening to me? God loves you. I give this example. I've been to Chuck E. Cheese only once, but I loved what I saw that day. I don't want to go back again there. There's this popping whales or that aquatic animals, and you have a hammer. As they pop, you need to hammer them down. It's called whack them all or something it is called. Right? Whack them all. Yeah, remember. God is not like that one holding a hammer and then he picks Aaj iske upar, today this fellow, and then whack him. God is not a sadistic, mean person sitting there trying to whack them all. He has some better things to do. When we get those experiences, the question is not to be asking, why me? Why is this happening to me? There are three stages of that. First two stages I can understand. Third stage amuses me. Why me? I can understand. Do I agree with it? I will not agree with it, but I understand. Why me? Always. Third is what amuses. Why me? Always only. Meaning what? If I am getting whacked and if there are 10 others along with me, I am okay with it. It's normal. But I am the only one being whacked. That I don't like. I need company. Instead of asking why this or why me, drop the why. You have life staring at you. This is happening to me is a statement of fact. Do you think at that moment asking why and anybody trying to offer any solution, any viable solution or an answer, you would be satisfied? You lost millions or billions in your stock exchange. Why me? Any explanation, will it satisfy you? You lost somebody who is a loved one. Why now? We ask these questions. I need to find an answer. Go figure. There is no answer. That is what life is. Take it, digest it, move forward. Don't look at it from a pessimistic standpoint. Always, and if two things or three things happen in a wrong way, already we have resigned. My life is like this only. Always one after the other, one after the other, misery only happens. Compare yourself always with Bhagavan Krishna and Bhagavan Rama. And what we are going through is nothing. Were you born in a prison? Were you separated from your mother, biological mother? Were you kicked around since you are 3 months old? Childhood trauma. Are you married to 16,000 people? And Bhagavan Krishna still carried his smile in spite of 16,000 wives. So when people ask, why are gods marrying more than one spouse? I said, don't be jealous, you can't handle more than one. Instead of answering, why them? I said, you can't handle it, so don't even compare yourself. Bhagavan Ramchandra ji, one after the other. Take another example. Pandavas. Was Bhagavan Krishna all along with them? Yes, no? Okay. I think you are in a very sattvic state now. Right from the time when Bhima gets poisoned till the Mahabharata war or even later, was there a moment of pause, moment of glory or glow in their life that they were not beaten up constantly, thoroughly? In spite of all these experiences, what does Kunti pray? She says, Bhagavan, bring it on. And she was not a pessimist, she was not a sadist. That she loved pain and misery. Her standpoint was, whenever I am in pain and misery, two things happen. I think of you and you happen to be next to me. If it takes pain and misery to bring your thought in my head and your presence in my life, I don't mind that kind of pain and misery. So stop asking questions as to why this painful thing is happening to me in my life. If you are on the spiritual line, this is life, it is happening. How do I handle it and move forward? Why is not an intelligent question. How do I handle it is the intelligent question. You are stuck in traffic. Why am I stuck in traffic? Does that give you any solution? How do I get out of this? What is the nearest exit? What is the nearest traffic-free route that I can get into? Isn't that what is an intelligent solution? So here he is saying, Sada Deeptihi Achamaniyam. Constantly look for that brightness in every experience. Please do not apply this particular Siddhanta in a global level. Suddenly there was, this leads to a global application. Apply it at your personal level first. Get that conviction. So suddenly there is every experience to find that brightness. What if somebody got killed? What if somebody got murdered? What if somebody got raped? Experiences happen. Put that thing aside. Can you apply this in your personal life at your personal level? Once that is applied and you see that conviction, then you will be able to answer all the other questions. And at personal level, you are not convinced and you want to go global. It ain't gonna work. Train the mind to learn. Find that brilliance. Find that brightness in through every experience. Because every experience has its beauty in it. That sundaratva has to be understood, grasped, appreciated, learnt, and then move forward. Sada deeptihi. What happens with this mindset? It's creating a mindset. Come what may. In spite of the worst of the situation, you are the brightness that walks in. It was in Dallas. I was working on some art project with some kids. So we needed more clay. We were making some Ganesha statues. And it was raining for about 4-5 days. There was no sun at all. I enter into this Hobby Lobby. I enter in there. And this elderly gentleman, and he sees me and he walks straight to me and, you know, pushes. He's working there. And usually I don't get that kind of a welcome into a shop. So he walks straight and pushes his hand out and he says, "Welcome, sir." I said, "Kuch to gadbad hai." And I pushed very skeptically. I pull my hand out, give him my hand, and I said, "Same here. What seems to be the inspiring moment today that I see you so joyous?" I said. They said, "You are the only bright thing that has entered these doors." And, you know, orange color. Nothing else seems to be brightening the day. At least you wearing these clothes has brightened my day. I said, "I never saw it from that perspective." My perspective, again orange, where? I don't even think that it is color, this color. But the way he put it across, you think you are the only bright color that I have seen. To be able to see that brightness in every aspect. Because what is the purpose? We are not going through any experience that which we cannot handle. And we are given that experience only to learn and grow to a next stage of intelligent movement forward. If these two perspectives are understood, you are not scared of living an experience. You are eagerly waiting for what next? Sada deeptihi. Wherever you go with that freshness of mind. That freshness has to be inculcated. Otherwise, mai papi, mai murakh, mai khalakami. There is that aarti, right? What is the actual wordings? Mai murakh khalakami. I don't need murakh as my sevak. Imagine you to be the boss and the person coming for interview, he comes and says, "Mai murakh, mai kalakami, mai sevak. I don't need you as a sevak, get out." Would you accept that fellow as a sevak? I would not. Again. I say, "Stop, I know that. Can you come back as a changed person? How long will you keep continuing murakkalkami? Bhagwan, main kal kami tha. Aaj nishkami hu. I have been always this. I am now a changed person. Come back. come as that brightness. Otherwise, it's a pessimistic way of life. I don't know why everything is happening to me. Stop complaining. That is what life is. Pandavas never complained going through the entire miserable life. Do you know how old they were by the time they reached Mahabharata war?
75.
About 89 years old. I am not making this up. After Mahabharata war, Bhagavan Krishna stayed with his Leela for 36 years, and the time he finished his Leela, he was 125. 125 minus 36. I am poor in math, so you tell me the calculation. 125 minus 36. 80? Bhagavan Krishna was 89. Yudhishthira and Bhima were older than Krishna. Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva were younger than Krishna. So how old was Yudhishthira? 91. So right from that age when Bhima was poisoned, they were about 4.5 years old. From that age of 5 years old to 90, 91 years old, 80 plus years, all that they have seen is one after the other stumbling block. Bhagavan was right with them. He did not put a magic wand to change their lives, but instead taught them how to change it themselves. If that perspective be understood, I think the purposefulness of Mahabharata is understood. Am I getting across? Sadadiptihi achamaniyam. We'll just read that mantra and see it tomorrow. Vara akrita praptihi, snanam. So what is snanam or abhishekam? Is ease or effortlessness in existence. Now what does that mean? Seamless existence. That we will see tomorrow. Manyana. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.